This edition of the Trees and Line podcast is again from the Trees and Utilities Exhibit Hall. George Leader is joining us. Welcome, George. Appreciate your coming in.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes. Welcome, George.
So, George, get us started. Give us a little bit of who are you and who do you work for and a little bit about your background.
Well, I'm George Leader. I work for Perdinalis Electric Cooperative. We're in Central Texas, Texas Hill Country. About 80, our footprint is about 8,100 square foot.
Square miles.
You know, yeah.
That's impressive.
It's a small little thing. How can you be the largest? You know, anyway. No, it's 8,100 square miles, about 20,000 miles of line in 300 miles transmission. And then we got about 350,000 meters on the system. Wow. My background originally as a lineman, climbing the power poles, doing all the changing transformers, working transmission lines. And I did that from 1978 up until about 15 years ago. That's when someone decided I needed to learn how to do vegetation, which was great. So we've been working on this program for 15 years, and it's a tremendous program now. So
yeah. So what are some of the unique challenges there? And is that North Texas?
No, it's Central Texas.
Central Texas.
I guess some of the unique challenges is dealing with members with the live oaks, and they love their live oak trees, and we have oak wilt in that area. So all of my team and I have gone through oak wilt training to help them, and we have to trim year round. So it's a struggle. It's a challenge with some of these members to understand that, yes, we know the beetle is active during the springtime, but we still have to trim the trees but we do everything we need. We do our spraying and we do our cleaning of the tools and stuff. So we get all that done. So that's probably the biggest challenge. And the second biggest would be the membership. You know, we've got probably 1% that we'll never satisfy. I don't care what we do. Yeah. Like my grandpa used to say, they'd gripe if they were hung with a new rope. You know.
That has to be a Texas thing.
It is a Texas thing, yeah.
Perdinalis, like, I think we were talking a little bit before the recording that it is the largest co-op in the country, right?
It's definitely the largest in Texas.
Yep.
I would say probably if you go by land mass area, that would, you know, you can put Massachusetts or one of these other smaller states within our borders. But I don't, like I said, there's Massachusetts has 10,000 miles of line, but they got 1.2 million meters. So how do you, you know, if you go by meters, they're quite a bit larger than we are. So
can you maybe describe maybe some of the different challenges that a cooperative may face versus an investor-owned utility? You know, what are some of the things that you guys maybe have to deal with? Maybe it's a regulatory thing or how things, decisions get made. Like what are some of the challenges as a cooperative do you have to face?
Probably, I would say the challenges are more on the IOU than they are on the cooperatives.
Okay.
The cooperative model is made to more cater to the membership because we're member owned and we're nonprofit, so we're not looking at a bottom line on what we do. The main challenge for us is to maintain a reliable system at an affordable price for our membership. Whatever we don't spend goes back in for next year and then eventually gets back to the member as a dividend. Other than that, we still have the same regulatory challenges that the IOUs have and customer member challenges.
But as a nonprofit, you know, funding, I mean, your footprint is so big. Do you ever, our budgets always, I mean, they're a concern for everyone, but in terms of being able to like optimize your program and utilize technology, dollars have to be a concern.
They are a big concern.
Right.
And we have built this program from the ground up and we were reactive only. Just go out and fix whatever you find. When we first started this 15 years ago, now we worked on trying to be as efficient as we can. We've got so many different programs going now to where we do mulching. We can mulch this, followed with herbicides, and we can spend a tenth on the herbicides of what we would on the pruning. So that's a major savings. And being able to show that to our board and to our executive management that, you know, what we remove now saves us dividends in the long run because we never have to touch it again. So looking at that and then having Geiger mode LiDAR now, that's able to target where we need to spend the money rather than us giving a map to a contractor and saying, please go out there and tell me what we need to do. Now we have those locations, we send them out with a map and they get that done.
So you've really moved away from cycle-based maintenance, right? It's condition.
Yes, we will. And if I have my way, we won't go back to cycle. This targeted is the way to go if you can afford the LiDAR. The biggest issue for co-ops is they can't afford some of the technologies out there. And that's one of my heart is to try to work with some of these co-ops, especially after I retire, to help them maybe come together in a coalition in some way to where they can join forces to get the technology. Geiger LiDAR, when it flies over one cooperative, it's picking up the other cooperatives around it as well. So if they all come together and pay a piece of that, then the cost can be a considerably less.
Yeah, socialized model. Yeah, that's a great
so
idea.
So tell us about your LiDAR program.
Yeah.
Well, we've flown three times in the last 3 years. When we first started it, we had 12.8% of our 20,000 miles of line, which actually only about 55% of that has vegetation on it. But 12.8% of that was either in the lines, burning, or overhang. So we deliberately went after just those locations at first. And we're on our third flyover. We just got the data back from it. And those locations went from 12.9 to 2.9. Because we're able to focus our finances there. Here's the other cool thing is I started out with a $12 million budget. I had $4 million about 5 years ago. And I had a good vice president over me at the time. And he's since moved on to bigger, better things. But he went with me to the board and got more money. And then I got $12 million. Then last year, I was able to give $1 million back because of what we did with LiDAR.
Yeah.
I was able to give another $1 million back this year because of the LiDAR program, which is a great benefit. So
yeah,
management is on board as long as I'm giving money back.
are you flying it every year? Distribution and transmission?
We're looking at right now, we've worked with IBM and a guy that's worked for them, his name is Jeff Garwick, was instrumental in putting together a predictive model to where he can take the LiDAR and with algorithms looking at tree species, soil, history and such, be able to predict out where the potential tree issues are going to be next year and the following year. So we're looking at maybe not flying again for 2 years and just trying this predictive model. And maybe in 2 years we'll fly a satellite to kind of see where we're at with it. But that's the way I think the industry is headed, is to doing a predictive type program.
So you went from 12.9% to 2.9% past due in some way. What happened to your reliability stats?
Our reliability stats are, when we started this whole thing, we were at 8.6% of the outages, and we were number three on the outage list to down where now we're about 4.1% of the outages, and we're down to about number five on the list
okay.
of the top outages.
That's so good.
It's actually done a great deal. I don't know if y'all are familiar with the snowstorm Uri that we had that shut Texas down and caused all that issues. Well, we had over 400 outages that were tree-related. On that, the last ice storm we had just back in February, we had reduced to the ones that I could affect down to three outages that were tree related in that, because we removed all the overhang and such. Now we had a lot of outages that were considered tree outages, but it was because of trees on communication lines or
yep.
something else that pulled the poles down or broke lines
right.
and stuff. So
what do you George, you mentioned you were a lineman first, right?
Yes.
Growing up sort of as a lineman and coming from that part of the industry, how has that sort of affected your lens as a vegetation professional? Because that's not a traditional sort of path.
No, it's not. It's not. It's,
you're like confirmed.
I've gone from looking at how a tree is in my way, and cutting it, not caring what it looked like when I was done, to switching to now making sure that it's properly cut, that we're training it away from there. I've gone from not caring about trees at all to where I'm a big advocate. I'm a big advocate of trees now.
Yeah.
That's
really great.
I feel that a lot of our climate issues would be solved if we would quit cutting trees down and destroying the habitat. So, but I don't want to get on a environmental soapbox with you.
So, does Pardonalis have environmental programs that tree planting or whatever?
We do that. We work with our members, and we do, if they'll let us remove some of the invasive species off their property, sometimes we will provide them with a tree, depending upon the situation. It's not something we do as a standard. That's kind of a one-off that happens every once in a while. But what we have done as far as environmental is we started seeding our right-of-ways with pollinators, trying to get the butterflies in. We work with landowners that have the high fence and the exotic properties to maybe come in and let us mulch and clean their property up, and then we can come in and do a food plot for them to help them. The benefit there is we don't have to come back on their property, and they don't have to yell at us anymore.
Yeah. So. But do you feel like as a lineman, you have some type of advantage in terms of how you think about the footprint? I'm just asking because, you know, there's a lot of linemen out there, you know, in the space. And as this industry, vegetation management is going through, you know, questions around labor shortages, you know, I could see a situation where you see a lot of this cross penetration from some of these other infrastructure roles and converting like a lineman to a vegetation specialist. Where did it help you? Where did your experience as a lineman help you in terms of managing a system?
In the knowledge of where trees are in location to power lines, we try to keep clear around air brake switches, things that linemen have to operate, keep the vegetation down around those. And we try to remove trees or brush in such a way to where they can get to be able to restore the power. So I think a lot about restoration of power. How can we clear it up, first of all, to prevent an outage, and second of all, if there is an outage, how can we set it up to where our linemen can get to it more effectively? So
as utilities moved on condition, you know, they allow some more encroachment maybe than other times, but there has to be a repair and restoration cost associated with
yes.
that too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, good.
As the largest co-op in Texas, do you act as mentor to a lot of the smaller players throughout the state?
Not yet, but that's what I want to do. I want to work with them and help them wherever I can to, get them. A lot of them don't have access to conferences like this one we're at right now, and a lot of them don't have access to be able to, or may not even know that there are certifications and training and stuff that they can get out there. And I just want to be able to put that out there and help them to find what I found. I want to give back because I had so many people, Phil's one of them, that have given to me over the years and helped me to understand more about what I'm doing now. And it's time for me to give back to others.
That's fantastic. George, absolute pleasure chatting with you.
Oh,
your perspective was unique and interesting. And
George, we had one of your team here earlier. Penny.
Yeah.
Penny.
She
was a pleasure to meet.
Yeah.
Good.
You have a good team, and I'm really excited to kind of see what you do next. And, we're going to have to continue this discussion around co-ops and the progression of co-ops. So thank you again for making time.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate it.
George, always a pleasure.
Definitely. Thank you.
Welcome to another episode of Trees and Lines. We're here at Trees and Utilities. We're joined by Penny Wisnett from Pardonalis or Pedronalis, but I can never figure it out.
Yeah, it's a Pardonalis.
Pardonalis, but even though the R is on the other side.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, awesome. See, I got that right. Yeah. Welcome. Yeah, welcome. We're excited to have you join us today. And
thanks. I'm excited to join.
Yeah, we're going to get into your background a little bit. So, like, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I am from Marble Falls, Texas. I grew up there. And after that, I went on to college at Stephen F. Austin State University. I got my bachelor's in forestry there with an emphasis in wildland fire ecology. So I have that. I went on to work for ACRT after a short stint with the Texas A&M Forest Service. And then after that, you know, I worked on Pernellas Electric system.
Yep.
And then I went over to Medina Electric with ACRT. Those are both co-ops in Texas. And then after that, I got a job offer from Pernellas Electric, and that's where I went. So I've been at PEC for 7 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Good.
So from your perspective on your system, what are some of the specific challenges that you face in the respective footprint in terms of the actual system?
It's usually the membership really trying to figure out how to educate them properly on what we're doing and convey the information to them in a way to where they understand and accept what we are trying to do. That's, I would say, the biggest challenge, because, you know, people really enjoy their trees and they really like their vegetation, and
yes,
they just do not want anybody to cut it.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad is one of them.
Yeah.
He, every time somebody comes to trim his trees, if it's from PEC, he's immediately calling me, even if it's not me doing it.
Yeah.
So,
So community engagement, community education.
Yes.
Now, do you guys as an organization have a dedicated group that focuses on, you know, customer interaction?
Yes, we do. We have a correspondence department. We have community relations. It might not be called that. I apologize, but, we do have some groups that deal with that, and they're very good. They work with the members, they work with children in the area, they partner with schools to educate kids on tree trimming, environmental issues, and, you know, line clearing stuff or lineman stuff. You know, electricity is hot. You know, they kind of bring it down to that level. And so
you're also passionate about pollinators and have a program?
Yes. So PEC has a pollinator program. We started out seeding pollinator friendly wildflower species on the transmission rights of ways. And it was just a small project. It kind of is still just a small project that we're doing, but it's growing. After we got a good handle on the transmission right away, we started looking to do other things like seed around the underground boxes, because we have lots of underground distribution, and so we have to keep those clear. So we started doing some projects with that, and the membership really took to that, especially in the we have a retirement community in our service territory, and we did a special project with them where we went and planted wildflower seeds around their boxes and in some green areas for them.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
It was fun.
Well, yeah, we really appreciate you taking the time today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It is really nice to get to know you.
Yeah, thank you. Any time.
I've known George for years, so it's nice to get to meet you.
Thanks, Penny. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's it for this episode of Trees and Lines, brought to you by Iapetus Holdings. If you like the show, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify. If you have any questions or comments on any of our episodes or ideas for topics or guests, we'd love to hear from you. Please contact us at treesandlines@iapetusllc.com. We'll chat with you soon.